but this ain't going nowhere. I feel like things done changed. Oh, we ain't the same.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Welcome to the Webstyle Magazine podcast. This is episode number 21, lovingly entitled Switchwood. I'm your host, Eldon Hawks, and today we have a great treat for you today. We were able to sit down and talk with Sergio and Drew, the creators of the Switchwood brand of wooden bow ties, a few weeks ago. So what I'm going to do is present to you our conversation. We had a lot of fun just sitting around a Starbucks and talking about style and where Switchwood came from and ultimately, you know, what the guys want to do with the company. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. So why wood?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm a wood artist, so that's really where it stemmed from. So I've been working with wood for about 13 years now, and it started with just plywood, but then I kind of branched out into using more of, you know, natural material, hardwoods, exotic woods, and from there, you know, once I had the idea of even using a different material, like wood as a bow tie, the idea kind of spawned off from there to make it versatile. And one of the things that I like about art, a lot of different types of art, but particularly functional art, is that it's multi-purposed. And so wanting to bring that idea of having it versatile and multi-purposed really came to the forefront.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of it because, I mean, I've seen his artwork progress. When we were, like, a few years ago, it was just, you know, nicely cut wood with a really nice airbrush job. And I really appreciated that. One day he decided to make it, just start using exotic woods and no airbrushing. The feedback he got was outrageous. And it's kind of funny because it's less work for him and he's getting more recognition.
Yeah.
So I started to understand that, you know, people just enjoy the beauty of natural things. You know, don't get me wrong, a candy painted car is something beautiful, but
right.
I mean, the grains that you see on the some of the wood we have is just, you know, it's just as beautiful, and it wasn't man-made. It's just there, you know.
Yeah,
we just put a little bit of oil,
yeah,
and it just pops, yeah, you know.
And it's keeping it natural is like, you know, keeping it traditional. It's something that I feel like will never go out of style.
Yeah.
You know, keeping certain things traditional, they last the test of time. I mean, even tattoos, you know, it's kind of funny looking at tattoos. You know, there's all sorts of, like, new school styles that have, like, these crazy caricatures, but really the old sailor tattoos are still popular,
yes,
as well, just because they are classic. The classics don't die.
Now, one thing I've noticed, and this is why I wanted to reach out to you guys, we've covered other companies that make wooden bow ties, and one of the things I've noticed is that no matter who's doing it, it's always something very different compared to, and again, not to knock any other fabric bow tie makers,
yeah,
you get a lot of same patterns or you get similarities, I guess because they're all using cottons or silks, but with using wood, I've seen so many different takes on using a bow tie, from something like yours to another company where they're actually carving ridges and everything. It's just really fascinating the sort of level of artistry that's being done with wood. And I just really like what you guys are doing.
Yeah, thank you. No, we really strive to make it a high quality product. More than anything, actually, you know, not to be like bashing other companies, but I ordered a Two Guys bow tie. And when I got it, I was really disappointed just because the quality wasn't there. The wood wasn't a good specimen of wood. The fabric was a terrible cotton. So when Sergio and I started Switchwood, we wanted every aspect to be as high quality as we could possibly make it. And one of the things was the material, the fabric. So we actually go out to New York to get our fabrics. We go to Mood, you know, which is the same fabric store that Project Runway works with, and so we go to Mood and the garment district in New York to handpick, you know, the finest fabrics that we can find, and you know, that's part of the reason what sets Switchwood apart from some of the other companies.
Yeah, we're willing to do that extra legwork just for that last little bit of quality. Yeah, we haven't spared any expense. You know, most companies are like, oh, how do we get the bottom dollar down? We're like, well, how do we make this better?
Yeah.
You know, and that aside, how do we make it better? And we went to every fabric company you can imagine within a 50-mile radius, every single one. Weren't happy with what we found. So then we were just like, all right, well, let's catch a bus ticket to New York, see what we can do.
Yeah.
And we ended up coming back with a lot of stuff. The beautiful part about a lot of the stores we go to is that they get one roll, and that's it. Like, when they're done with that, that's it. So two good things come out of that. One is it forces us to keep switching it up. You know, we can't keep using the same fabric. We'll run out of it, they're out of it, and we got to move on. So it keeps us on our toes, makes us have a fresh product, and it's exclusive. You know what I mean? Chances are you're not going to see someone with a shirt with that same pattern. Not going to happen.
No.
They're really exclusive patterns, and you know, their guys do what we do. They go to like Japan, and they'll go to like India and go and buy these rolls, and then that's the end of it, man. There's
when
no
done,
more reproducing
done.
It.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a nice car. It's just once it's done, like, and they've made that run, they moved on. You know, if you still have one, that's awesome. But yeah, you can't just go and buy a brand new, you know, 68 Mustang if you want to. You know.
But what's good about the wood too is that you know, since I have experience working with wood, you know, I can go out and hand pick exactly what I like, and I kind of have, I've gotten more of an eye for seeing the wood in its raw state, you know, because it's not so pretty when it's you know, pretty rough, and when it's just like the timber. So you know, it's nice to be able to go into the shop and know exactly what I'm looking for and find the grains that I like and that I appreciate. And the cool thing about wood is that it's like a fingerprint, you know, you're never gonna have the same piece twice.
Right.
You're never gonna see the same thing again. And so, which makes it very unique, you know, like I said, it's kind of like a fingerprint. And every time you sell one, you're never gonna see the same one again.
Now, tell me about what was the Kickstarter process like?
Probably the most stressful month of our entire lives, I'd say.
You know, we mulled it over for a long time, but I think what really pulled it together was the video that we made. Which is kind of funny because neither of us have any experience doing any video work whatsoever. So we bought a camera, and it was a cheaper camera, and we started filming. And you know, again, wanting to have that quality, it wasn't there with a cheap camera. So we returned it, and we dropped about $1,000 to buy a new camera, which had, you know, way better quality. And since I do a lot of the photo work for my own artwork, I have, you know, I had a tripod and I had a dolly. And so we strapped the...
tripod on the dolly, man. Yeah, what else are we going to do?
And so we just started wheeling it around, and, you know, Sergio did most of the video work. Meanwhile, you know, he showed me cutting and, you know, doing the process of making the bow ties. And so it was all him in terms of the video styling and trying to get those angles and, you know, wheeling the dolly around, trying to find the best shots, you know, throwing lighting in there, here and there. But I think, you know, the video, all in all, we've gotten a lot of compliments on, and I think that's really what pulled our Kickstarter campaign together. Apart from that, you know, it was just a lot of photos, you know, to get our website going. You know, that was one of the things that had to be done in order for us to even start Kickstarter. We had to have a good website, we had to have good photos, and so it was just a very arduous, you know, long process that, and again, we wanted it to be as much of a quality thing as we could make it.
Now, clearly your Kickstarter was successful, but what has the general reception to the product been?
Very positive.
Yeah, so far very positive. Before we did all that, we actually wore them out to D.C. And the first day we wore them out to D.C., we went to this very, very busy bar, right? And you had to go down these stairs, and the whole bar could see you. So whenever someone would come down, you could see, like, a lot of people would be like, oh, who's coming down? But me and him both had these bow ties on, and we're walking down the stairs, and every head turns, and we're like, crap, you know, like that's a lot of attention. So we're walking through this group of people, and everybody's just staring, like, relentlessly, like they're seeing the hottest girl in the world, and they don't care. And we're, you know, you're like, don't make eye contact because this is weird. But eventually, everybody's feedback was like amazing.
Yeah,
we
had people coming up to us and, you know, like, random girls and random guys just coming up to us just wanting to know what we had on. And, you know, as soon as they were into it, their eyes just completely lit up. As soon as we took the ties out and switched them out with something else, they were like blown away. So that was the first time we debuted Switchwood to any sort of public audience. And I mean, it was at that point we knew we had something that was gonna work.
Especially in such a fashion forward area such as DC, especially in the area that we were in. But sorry, to get back to your question about how is it perceived on Kickstarter. Again, really well. I mean, I'm sure there's people who weren't big fans, but I don't think they voiced their opinion. You know, they just, you know, kept it in their pocket. But no, it was pretty good. And at first we were kind of nervous. We're like, you know, we don't know. But eventually we just kind of were like, you can't think like that. There's going to be negative things coming out all the time. You can't let that get to you. So I think we just kind of tuned any sort of negativity out, if there even was any.
And we got a lot of emails from people just trying to inquire about it, you know, wanting to know more information about it. And, you know, getting anybody to give any sort of written response, or, you know, at least starting to ask questions, you know, shows that they're interested. And so, you know, we again, just the feedback was phenomenal. And like he said, we didn't get a lot of, like, people that were bashing it, or, you know, saying that it was, you know, a stupid idea or anything like that. So it was all positive.
So the turnaround point was we put this thing on our Kickstarter campaign where it was $650 for a deluxe package, and it came with a handcrafted wooden box, came with every single item that we make with your name laser inscribed. And when we made that, we kind of were just like, we were just mimicking other Kickstarter campaigns where they have different tiers and then one that's like way out here, and most of them never sell it, but you just kind of got to have it. And what ended up happening is that we sold a lot of them.
We sold like five.
Yeah, we sold like five of those. They were $650 a piece. I mean, for a company you don't know anything about
and never seen their product.
You've never seen their product in real life. That's a big chunk of money to just drop. So we sold so many of them. And again, we kind of just threw a number at it because we had no idea how much making a box would be until it was time to fulfill orders. And we were getting quotes at, what, like $500 a box?
Wow.
And we're like, oh gosh. So that's where doing everything local came in handy, because we went to one of our wood distributors. They have some guys that work in the shop there. And they, you know, I think they just also, they liked us as people. We, you know, we're real people, and they gave us a fair price, so we were able to get it done.
It was kind of funny because they were like, "Well, you're an artist. Why don't you do it yourself?" And I was like, "Well, you know, I'm." And so there's a huge difference between doing something that is a traditional craft, like making a box, and opposed to what I do, which is, you know, all my artwork is, you know, more like graffiti inspired, and it's got a lot of curves, and I can be a little more untraditional with the way that I cut the wood. And
making a box, it's so meticulous. The measurements and the details that, you know, that it was just not something that I felt comfortable with. And in fact, I made my first box after we started Switchwood. It was okay. It works. It opens, but but it's not. It's certainly not my.
It's not the quality we wanted to give our customers.
No. So we wanted it to be professionally done, and so that's why we handed it over to a professional to get it done.
Yeah, and it was a nerve-wracking situation, I'll tell you the least. I mean, every day we're just, you know, we had the Kickstarter app, so every time someone bought something, it popped up in your screen. And I'd like text them and be like, yeah, you know, like we just sold, yes, we're getting closer. And it was kind of close. We cut it to the wire. I think we didn't hit our goal till like the day before. So we were nervous. We were very nervous, because if you don't hit your goal, you don't get anything.
Right.
And, you know, we're definitely very grateful. And I mean, to say that family and friends didn't help out, you know, would be a complete lie. We're both lucky to have very supportive families. And luckily, I think that's why we turned out the way we did. It's because we had great families that we're still very close with. And again, though, we had a lot of sales from outside of the country. And the shipping for outside of the country was really high. So it's really neat to just be like, yeah, we sent one over to Korea, to Australia, New Zealand. I mean,
I just sent one to Iceland.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's cool to see different people from different parts of the world being interested in it. That's
enjoying the product.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Nice. It sounds. I'm just happy you guys, you know, are that everything worked out, because I think I saw it after the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know I saw you guys a while before I actually contacted you, and I kind of was just on the binge, like, okay, let me see what's going on. Oh, yeah, I remember these guys. Let me email them, and then you and I have been playing email tag and phone tag. So it's just really, really great to finally get a chance to meet you guys and talk about it.
Absolutely.
Really, really great.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that Kickstarter campaign, luckily we hit our goals. $10,000 does not take you as far as you think, for sure. We spent that in less than a week, I think, just on more product. Yeah. And, I mean, we're just going to keep going with it, man. And we're still, to this day, even though our sales aren't out of this world yet, we're already thinking about how to make it better.
Right.
How to make it, you know, we've already got new fabrics lined up for the future.
We actually are redesigning some parts of the function of the knot so that it improves the way that it's worn. So we're always thinking of new ideas. We're always trying to keep it fresh, and we're keep moving forward.
Cool.
Yeah. We actually debuted wooden cufflinks last week, or 2 weeks ago, at an event we did.
Oh, nice.
And we put them together the night before. And
we were actually assembling them at the table, too.
Yeah, because they were so fresh. And we were kind of like, yeah, hopefully, someone buys a pair. And, we sold out, within minutes. So we're sitting there in the back of the room, putting more together, polishing them up with oil, glue, and making them look good.
Well, I definitely see the cufflinks selling. Cufflinks are one of those items that it's so much variation on, and again, these little things you really can accessorize with and to make it your distinct style. And cufflinks are the way to go for a lot of people without being too, intrusive with their styles. It's very subtle with something okay, nice. So some people prefer those. I can definitely see those selling.
The great thing about the cufflinks too is that, when we get the bow ties cut, we have a lot of residual wood that, I've just been saving because, I don't like to waste material. So we have all this scrap wood that we weren't really sure what to do with, and now it's all being used down to the very last grain on cutting cufflinks. So we're trying to not only introduce a new product but also use the material that we have, because we're grateful to have it.
Yeah, cool. And they've got luckily we have a company that helps us out. Again, we're really good friends with them now that we've started doing business with them, and it's almost like a friendship more than a business relationship at this point. But they've got we get our, the back of our bow ties have our logo etched into them.
Right.
On the cufflinks, we have our logo. It's this big, and it is clear as can be.
Yeah.
Every little detail, what they're able to do is mind blowing. So it's cool. It keeps a little bit of it's a Switchfoot product, but it's not over the top, all branded out. That's right. Why we do it subtly on the back of the tie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, my favorite shirts are the ones that don't have the giant thing on the lapel.
That.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And anybody who has style knows that that's a nice shirt, regardless of if it has anything here or
exactly.
not.
Exactly. I've never been a brand name person myself. It's either you like it and it looks good or it doesn't.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. You don't need to plaster it everywhere, because if it looks good, somebody's going to ask you what it is.
Exactly.
And where'd you get it from?
Yeah. And those are the people you really care about, what they think anyways, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, we didn't want to be flashy with any part of the products either. In terms of the wood, we wanted it to just be as natural as possible. And so, again, like Sergio said, all we did was put oil on the wood. And, the material, we want it to be classy, traditional. Laser etching into the face of their bow ties. And to be honest, neither of us are a huge fan, just because I feel like it detracts from the natural beauty of the wood. So, we're again just trying to keep it traditional, classy, and that it doesn't go out of style.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you guys so much for just taking some time out of your schedule to sit down and talk. Appreciate
it. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for hitting us up and getting in contact.
Cool.
It's been good talking.
Same here. Thank you. And I hope you enjoyed that interview with Drew and Sergio from Switchwood. It was a lot of fun talking with those guys just around the Starbucks and just chewing the fat and just talking about everything with Switchwood and style and where it came from. It was really interesting and awesome getting inside the creative motivations behind the brand. Well, that does it for us today. There are going to be some exciting changes coming to the site soon, so be on the lookout. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Webster Style, on Instagram, follow us at Webster Style Mag. You can also find us on YouTube at Webster Style Mag. Don't forget to email us if you have any questions at info@websterstylemagazine.com. And remember, be stylish, but always remember, be you. I'm out. Peace.
but this ain't going nowhere. I feel like being.